Good afternoon. It's 12:07 and you're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, very happy to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. And this means that Doug Hackbarth is with us once again. Doug, good afternoon.
I am here, and what a beautiful day and a week. The forecast is phenomenal. Going back up into the 50s, are we supposed to hit 60?
Not going to hit 60, but 50s, we'll be low to mid 50s
sunny
into the weekend, yeah.
And not much wind.
Yeah, I'll take that. It's a little chilly when I get up in the morning. Oh. I have to scrape the frost off my car at 4
a.m. Oh, you come in early, yeah.
But that's okay. We are here, of course, for you this hour, and we want to hear your questions and comments about your outer spaces. So please do give us a call, 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Doug, it's a little bit warmer, I'd say, than it typically is this time of year.
Yes.
I'm curious, what have you been up to at Broadview?
Well, believe it or not, the Christmas season has started. Of course, we're decorated for it. Some people think it seems early, but we do keep a fall section for people who want to stick with the fall. But I had a guy actually come in, picked up 5 poinsettias today.
Hmm.
I had someone come in yesterday and get 5 poinsettias, and it's early to me.
And so folks are already thinking about
poinsettias
and Christmas time.
Yeah, and so it just amazes me that they're coming in already and getting them. And but it won't be long. Usually Thanksgiving Day week, we start shipping them out, and that's just next week.
Hmm.
Can you believe Thanksgiving's a week from today?
No, absolutely
are
not.
We doing the show a week from today?
we will not be here. In fact, next week we have a two-hour special. It's called Turkey Confidential.
Ah.
Lynn Rosetto Casper will be taking calls live during that period for folks who are having trouble with their turkeys, having trouble with their Thanksgiving meals. So we won't be here next week, but Lynn Rosetto Casper will be on the air live.
Oh, okay.
And if you can call her and maybe not ask about your outer spaces, but you're having turkey trouble, she's the one to
call.
Well,
there you go. Well, otherwise, we get into this type of season where there's very few plants that people are interested in as far as blooming indoor plants.
Mm-hmm.
And blooming indoor plants through the Christmas season are generally Christmas cactus, a very obvious choice. Poinsettias, of course, is an obvious choice. And also... amaryllis.
Hmm.
Amaryllis is grown from a bulb and very fast growing. I don't remember when I planted them, maybe 4 weeks ago, and I've got one it's just one out of 50 that's just starting to pop a bloom right now. So, that's fast. You're talking about a bulb, and this thing grows, it grows this tall and gets monstrous flowers.
About 2-3 feet tall there?
People can't tell what this tall is. Yeah, about 2 foot. Yeah, a good 2 foot, maybe 2.5 feet tall.
Hmm.
And monster-sized flowers. Generally, red's the most popular, and we also grow a pink variety. There's many other varieties, but, how many can you handle?
Now, I want to go back to something you said a moment ago, Christmas cactus.
Christmas cactus.
my mom raised cacti at our house when I was growing up, but I hadn't heard a lot about, a Christmas cactus until just a few years ago. Have you had those on your shelves for a
forever.
Long time? Forever.
They've been around. Grandma, great-grandma, and their grandmas used to have them. These things have been around for years, and a lot of times Christmas cactus are handed down from generation because they're easy to keep, especially after they're through blooming and towards spring and summer. You basically just ignore the plant.
Hmm.
It survives, and then towards late summer and fall, you start to water it and maybe fertilize it, and it just miraculously blooms. It's called a Christmas cactus, but it almost always blooms before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And the thing about them is that they're so simple to take care of. They don't require a lot of lighting problems. They can be affected by artificial lights if they're on all the time too much. But the thing about them is if they have cool temperatures at night, like a lot of people have them on their porch or out on their patio deck, and they, you know, people are pretty slow about bringing stuff in. So it's benefited from those cool nights. And that's what helps set the flower buds into gear. So, but I wanted to tell you,
let me invite our listeners to join us, and then we'll continue the conversation.
I'm going to clarify
here.
The cactus for you.
The number is 260-452-1185. If you'd like to get on the air and share your thoughts, your questions, or comments today, we'd also like you to email us if you can't get to the phones. That's middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. Doug Hackbarth, clarify away.
All right. Sometimes my mouth is flapping faster than my brain. I had this thought to tell you, and then it's like, what was I going to tell him? Right in mid-sentence, it was blanking out. But you said about the cactus. Mm-hmm. There's desert cactus and there's jungle cactus. Two different kinds. And of course, Christmas cactus would go into the jungle cactus type. And so it doesn't require the full sun, the real hot, heated weather that cactus do. They do like cool temperatures at night. And again, as I said, that brings them into bloom. Regular desert cactus, though, if you think about a desert, in the wintertime, a desert's still fairly warm by day, but it gets really cool at night, sometimes down in the 20s.
Sure.
The thing about it is it doesn't get that cold for any length of time, so the cactus generally survives. But it's that kind of mistreatment, that kind of coolness and dryness that makes a cactus, a regular cactus, bloom in the springtime. Once the spring rains hit and the weather starts to warm up, boom, they pop into bloom. And that's pretty natural for them. But the Christmas cactus is a little different ballgame.
All right.
Yep.
It looks like we have a caller on the line here, Doug. So let's open up the phones and go to Kathy. Kathy, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm already thinking about next spring.
Well, that's okay.
I don't think you're the only one.
Really. And I have yet to get bulbs bought, you know, to put in the ground.
Yes.
For this fall. Is there any place locally, or am I going to have to go through, you know, a catalog or something to get the bulbs in? Is there any place locally I can pick up bulbs around the area?
I'm sure that a lot of garden centers sell the bulbs. I know that the big chain stores sell them. You know, when usually as soon as you walk through the sliding glass doors, there's just racks and racks of bulbs, more than what an average guy would have on sale, because, you know, an average garden center, because these guys just get everything under the sun. It's unbelievable. It just amazes me. And I would think that they would still be out, because you can still plant them. It's not too late.
Okay, great.
But now, the tulips, here we're talking tulips, hyacinths, daffodils, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and do you have them at your place?
No, I don't. That's a good question, because I don't.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
But thank you for thinking of me.
All right.
Kathy, thank you very much for your call. Have a very good day. 260-452-1185 is the local line if you'd like to give us a call with your questions or comments. Or you can always call us toll-free, 1-800-471-9264. A good question, and it is. I mean, based on the weather, you know,
it's a great weekend to plant them.
Folks still have a lot of time to get bulbs in
the
ground.
Ground's not that cold, and bulbs like to be planted late in the season. They're amazing. You'd think, how could anything that you stick in the ground at this time of year survive and actually grow next spring? But they always work. Now, I said I don't have the bulbs, but we do get the bulbs in for ourselves to plant for Easter. And so as it happens, just yesterday, we planted all of our tulips, hyacinths, and daffodils into pots, 6.5-inch pots, and we stick them in a cold greenhouse for a couple of weeks, and then they go right to a cooler, and they're actually grown in a dark cooler. And dark is the key. They cannot have any light ever. Ever. I mean, we have a light switch that turns a light on in the room, and outside the cooler is another light to warn us if anyone accidentally left that light on. We can see it, and it's like that's death to the bulbs. If you leave that light on even for 24 hours, it just destroys them because they want to grow.
Right.
We don't want them to grow. We want to plant them. We want the root system to develop. We want them to think that they're underground, and they can't think that they're underground if there's light.
Hmm. Yeah,
it
makes
sense. It has to be dark. And then as they develop the root system and they start to pop through the soil, then we start cranking the temperatures down right to actual almost freezing, 33, 34 degrees.
Wow.
And they're stored that way until we get close to Easter. And then at that point, we bring them out into the greenhouse. And within a period of 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the bulbs, they pop into bloom for Easter. It's very easy to time them.
260-452-1185 is the local line to call if you have a question for Doug Hackbarth today, or if you'd like to share your thoughts on what your outer spaces are looking like, what you're doing in your outer spaces this time of year. Do share those thoughts today. Of course, you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at midday. Day Matters. Stay with us. We'll keep the conversation going when we come back.
Hi, I'm Julia Meekin. What up? This week on Meet the Music, classic classical piano tunes from Jung Jung, The Combo's inspirational jazz mode, and a massive dose of Duane Eby's Collective Madness. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM or listen online at nipr.fm, a two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music.
On an Indian reservation, oil companies dump wastewater directly onto the ground. It's brown, smelly, potentially lethal, and it's legal.
Are we doing something on tribal lands that we wouldn't allow somewhere else? I think that's a question we need to be asking ourselves.
Investigating a toxic legal loophole, today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
It is a self-evident truth that things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other.
Daniel Day-Lewis has Abraham Lincoln in the new Steven Spielberg film. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Tony Kushner, who spent years writing the screenplay for Lincoln. He also won a Pulitzer for his play, Angels in America. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Are your investments tax-wise? More information at Reinbold and Anderson on NIPR's homepage at www.nipr.fm.
Minutes past noon. This is Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter along with Doug Hackbarth. And this, of course, is the hour when we ask you to give us a call or send us a note and tell us what's going on in your outer spaces. And of course, if you have a question or comment, we'd love to get that on the air today. Our phones are quiet right now, so we'd love to hear from you. We'll get you right on 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always call us toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Doug Hackbarth, we were talking over the break here. When we say it's warmer than normal outside, I mean, I tend to remember you know, when I was a kid, even preparing for snow this time of year. And I love winter and snow anyway, but that's another story. But Thanksgiving is only a week away, and this is getting into the time where folks are starting to decorate for Christmas.
We're talking
about some natural decorating tips.
It is, and you know, the folks that don't like to push the Christmas season, you got to go with the flow. You got to go with the weather, that flow. You want to get out there while the weather's comfortable and put the lights up. You don't have to plug them in, but get them up. Get the lights up, the decorations that you might want to use. And, you know, you and I were talking on the commercial break about natural decorations, for example. This is one reason that a person should wait on trimming crazy bushes, bushes that are just out there and they need to be cut. And gosh, I just can't wait. You should wait. Wait until now to do it, because now you can cut them off and actually use these. You could make swags for the doors, swags for the windows. You could put it, you cut the greenery off, tie it together with a ribbon or definitely a bow, and then you've got yourself a swag. You can also mix the greens together because that looks good. And you can get holly, especially if it has berries on it. That's even better. And you've got another decoration. And what else is out there, Sean? How about pine cones? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I drove into the parking lot yesterday and I ran over one pine cone and I thought, what did I hit? It must have been a monster one.
One of these weeks, we're gonna get you in here to weave live on the air a wreath out of live cuttings that you've made.
That's what my friends in Wisconsin do. It's so much better to just get them shipped in, because we actually sell hundreds of wreaths and stuff, and it's enough to make hundreds of bows, which we do. Let alone making the actual wreaths. But that kind of stuff is coming up, and a lot of decorating people either want it done on the week of Thanksgiving or definitely on the Monday following. And I don't blame them. And you got to go with the weather. I mean, look at this week. Next week coming up, it's going to be fairly warm. You can wait till Thanksgiving if you want to, but then you've got to zip out there.
Gotta start moving on.
If you want to avoid that Black Friday rush, you come to Broadview.
We want to invite our listeners to share what's going on in their outer spaces today. So do give us a call if you have a question for Doug Hackbarth, or if you just want to tell us how you're preparing for the winter season in your outer spaces. It's 260-452-1185. Or you can always call us toll free, 1-800-471-9264. We have a few callers on the line here. Let's open up the phones and go to Bruce. Bruce, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good sunny afternoon.
Oh, yes. It is. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, good. Two questions, actually. One is on tomatoes. A friend of mine had that topsy-turvy tomato planter, and it was absolutely miserable. And I took the plants and brought them over to my house, put them in a southern window. Do tomatoes have a natural season where even if you bring them in and try to save them, it seems like it's starting to grow, but then the leaves are kind of curling just a little bit?
Well, you know, they seem to get diseased eventually. You know, the best tomatoes in a person's garden with the absolute best care, eventually they seem to get diseased. They're actually considered a perennial, a soft perennial, which means they won't survive winter here. But if you lived in a warmer climate, they could live from year to year, except for the fact that they're going to get these viral diseases that you're talking about. Leaves will fall. So it's always best to start new ones and get rid of the old, because it's inevitable. If you keep a plant for any length of time, it's going to have problems. And so it's always best to propagate and to start new ones. With tomatoes, you don't propagate, you start them from seed. So you just keep that chain reaction going. Even in our shorter climate, it's not a bad idea to plant tomatoes and actually start some a month later for a later crop of tomatoes. It would be better than trying to keep the same ones over. And you cannot grow them in the house in the wintertime. It just will not work.
Okay. Second question was, I was actually relieved that my walnut tree did not have walnuts this year.
Yes, yes.
But is it true that walnut trees generally produce walnuts every other year?
That is a very good question, because we had walnut questions a few weeks ago, and I did some pretty extensive research on it to find out what the story was. And it is true that walnut trees can produce a tremendous amount one year and none the next. And that is a fairly normal occurrence. Also, if a walnut tree grows from a walnut, it takes 7 years before it produces its first walnuts. But in your case, you've produced them before, so we're going with the every other year theory. Now, you may get walnuts each year, but you may find out that one year it's way better than another.
Well, I figured it was from the drought.
Yeah, yeah. And so this just seems to be a pattern with walnut trees.
But it was sure a nice relief not have to pick up old walnuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, and they're certainly toxic to a lot of plants. Definitely.
Hey, very good. Uh-huh. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Bruce, okay. We appreciate your call. Have a great day.
Listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, thank you so much. Enjoy the sunshine there.
Very good.
Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for Doug Hackbarth this hour. Or you can always call us toll-free, of course, 1-800-471-9264. We've got another caller on the line here, and then a few email questions and messages left with us. Peggy is on the line. Peggy, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Two questions about geraniums.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who doesn't want to bother with them, so she gives her geranium plants to me, and I have four or five of them right now. They're starting to look a little scraggly and I'm picking out the dead leaves. What is the best way to keep those over the winter?
Well, the best thing to do is put them by a sunny window. Keep them like patio doors. Mm-hmm. Keep them fairly close where they run cooler than in the rest of your house.
Uh-huh.
And then don't water them hardly ever.
Uh-huh.
The purpose here is to keep them alive and not to really grow them. If you want to grow a plant fast, you give it a lot of heat, a lot of water, and a lot of fertilizer, and we don't want to do that. So you give them a lot of coolness, you give them no fertilizer, and you don't water them very often. Whenever you water, water thoroughly, but don't do it often.
Okay.
I'm talking every 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Maybe when we get into late December and all of January, you might just skip the whole 5 weeks in a row with water, and don't water them much. Also, if the leaves fall off, that's fine. They'll grow more. And I don't know how tall these plants are, but you should cut them back. They will always grow.
Okay. Last year, I had a couple that were blooming beautifully when she gave them to me. So I set them inside, and they did really great for a while, and then they just, kaboom, they died.
Yeah.
And the one that I put out in my sun porch and forgot about bloomed like crazy this year. She was amazed that it was better for me this year than it was for her last year when she bought it.
Well, you know, I had a friend that lived down the street, and he has died since then, but he used to buy these geraniums from me, and he would keep them for 15 years.
Wow.
And he would drag them out to the driveway. He had them in gigantic pots. He'd drag them out to the driveway every spring, like late April, maybe mid-April, and they looked terrible. I saw them the day he drug them out. They looked horrible, but they'd fell out and grow, and he'd have the most beautiful geranium trees in all the land. And
wow.
Then in the fall, he would simply drag them back to his garage. And it was an unheated garage, but it was connected to the house, which makes it a little warmer. And he never would do a thing to them the entire winter. He just let them sit there and drop their leaves and never watered them. Hmm. And he did this 15 years in a row. And then finally one day he came back and says, yeah, I'll buy three more. He says, after 15 years, I'll start over. I didn't think he had as much luck, though, in the next 15 years because... for one thing, they change varieties on us, you know. There's always these improvements, and the improvements have to do with color and things like that. And sometimes they lose their hardiness. But, He sure had a good thing going there for a long time.
I did that with impatience. I had them for 4 or 5 years, and they began to look like a bush, kind of. They were great, but I did finally kill them.
Yep.
Well, what about the fact that one of these is absolutely beautiful and it's blooming? Will it hurt the plant for me to let it continue to bloom until it really stops?
No, it's perfectly fine because winter is a very long time, and you can start it whenever you want to. I'm saying start winter by cutting these things back. You can wait until mid-December if you want to, or the 1st of January. But eventually, when this thing starts to look bad, cut it back. And don't let the fact that leaves fall off bother you. That doesn't mean fertilize. That doesn't mean, remember, I always say, fertilizer is not medicine. Don't use fertilizer on a sick plant. And most of the time in the winter, you don't use fertilizer anyway because the plants just can't handle it.
Well, great. Thank you. The other question I have, you may not be able to answer. I'm terrible for tasting everything I see, and geranium leaves are tangy. Are they edible, or am I poisoning myself?
I wouldn't eat them. No, I don't think they're good for you. Probably not poisonous, but if you're a groundhog, they love geraniums. They have broken into the greenhouse and eaten benches of geraniums before, so they love them. But as far as people food, no, I don't think so.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you very much for the call. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. 260-452-1185 is the local line to call if you have a question or comment for Doug Hackbarth this afternoon. Or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. And, Doug, we have a lot of electronic ways, digital ways, I should say, to get a hold of us as well.
Sure.
It's middaymatters@nipr.fm. That's our email address. Of course, we have our Facebook page up as well, and you can tweet us at Midday Matters. We'll take a message that was left with us from a little while ago here. Jill has a rosemary plant that's indoors. Jill wants to know, what's the best way to keep it alive?
Well, anytime it gets long and straggly, you're going to want to cut it back. It doesn't hurt to cut a rosemary back, but keep it cool. Keep it more on the dry side than wet, and no fertilizer. Those are all good things. And occasionally you might give it a soap bath. You know, get some soap and water, lemon-scented soap and water, and mist it off because it's not uncommon for spider mites to appear just out of nowhere. And this will keep them at bay. So other than that, sunshine, cool, dry.
Yeah, you love your lemon-scented soap.
I've noticed that over the last year. I love it, and the bugs don't.
260-452-1185 is our local line. We are going to take a quick break here for the news, but our phone lines are wide open, so if you give us a call, we'll get you back on as soon as we're back. Of course, the toll-free number, once again, 1-800-471-9264. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters Outer Spaces.
It is a self-evident truth that things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other.
Daniel Day-Lewis as Abraham Lincoln in the new Steven Spielberg film. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Tony Kushner, who spent years writing the screenplay for Lincoln. He also won a Pulitzer for his play, Angels in America. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLia with WBOI News. An attorney for the owner of a house believed to be at the center of a deadly Indianapolis explosion says the woman's 12-year-old daughter smelled a strange odor off and on for weeks before the blast. Randall Cable said Wednesday that Montserrat Shirley and her boyfriend speculated that what her 12-year-old daughter smelled was natural gas, but he says they didn't think the odor was strong enough to report. Cable also says Shirley's boyfriend had replaced the thermostat recently after their furnace had stopped working. Investigators say they have found no leaks in the gas main or pipes leading into the house and are now focusing on interior gas lines and appliances. Experts say there should be clues even though the explosion obliterated the house. 26-year-old Fort Wayne firefighter Mark Hoddenschild II died on Sunday while responding to a brush fire. Yesterday, his wife spoke publicly about their life together. Surrounded by members of the Washington Township Fire Department, Janet Hoddenschild described her marriage to her late husband, the children they raised together, and the type of man he was. Married for over 5 years, she says that firefighting was something her husband had always wanted to do.
Putting out that fire, making the story of helping somebody who needed him, gave him the sense of accomplishment that he fixed them or got them out of something and they could go on with their lives.
To help keep her children's memories alive of their father, Janet says she has already started to collect photos and letters to share with them when they are older. When asked what her favorite memory of her late husband was, she simply said, "As long as we were together, it was my favorite." Healthcare policy experts say House Speaker Brian Bosma's decision to appoint a doctor to lead the Indiana House Ways and Means Committee is no coincidence. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Dan Goldblatt reports, the state will soon face tough decisions about how to implement the Affordable Care Act during upcoming budget talks.
Bosma made it clear Tuesday he recognizes the growing impact healthcare will have on the state budget as he introduced the new chairman of the Ways and Means Committee.
An individual that has the time, the integrity, and the knowledge to step in this key role that I've selected is Dr. Representative Tim Brown.
While Bosma acknowledged not everyone in the State House agrees with the Affordable Care Act, he stressed its implementation is something the General Assembly must deal with. IUPUI law professor David Orntlicker says the way Indiana chooses to implement the federally mandated health care exchange will significantly impact the budget.
The more control the state has, if the state retains control, the state bears more of the costs. And if it allows the federal government to run it, then the federal government will pick up the cost.
Orenlicher says the exchanges will work much like travel sites such as Expedia or Orbitz, but instead of buying plane tickets and hotels, customers will be able to compare and purchase health insurance. He says Indiana will also have to decide whether to expand its Medicaid coverage. If it does, the federal government will pay for all new Medicaid patients for the first few years, but the state would have to shoulder some of the costs starting in 2016. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Dan Goldblatt in Bloomington.
Indiana has another case of fungal meningitis linked to injections of a recalled back pain medication. State Department of Health spokesman Ken Severson said Friday that Indiana now has 53 cases of the illness that's killed 4 people in the state. State officials say clinics in 6 Indiana cities received tainted steroids traced to the New England Compounding Center. The Framingham, Massachusetts company is linked to a multi-state outbreak that sickened 438 people in 19 states and caused 32 deaths. The Indiana clinics that receive tainted medication are located in South Bend, Elkhart, Columbus, Evansville, Fort Wayne, and Terre Haute. And now back to Outer Space's Midday Matters with your host, Sean Beter.
Minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters, Outer Spaces on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, very glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. With me, of course, it's Doug Hackbarth. Say hello, Doug.
Hey, hey, I'm here. It's a beautiful day.
This, of course, the program when we ask you to call in and share your thoughts about your outer spaces, whether it's a tip on what you're working on this week, or if you have a question for Doug as well, the number 260-452-1185. If you want to call us toll-free, you can do that at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. And no callers on the line, yet. So if you do give us a call soon, you'll get right through. Doug, we had a question here from Jim. Jim wants to know, is there any regulation or restriction for transplanting bittersweet?
Transplanting bittersweet. So he must already have one, or a friend of his already has one. I'll say this about bittersweet. There's a plant that I am just sure would be an invasive plant. In fact, mm-hmm. you did a little research on the commercial and found out that possibly it is.
In fact, the USDA, the National Agricultural Library, has it listed as an invasive species. Whether or not there's local restriction, probably good advice to check with the DNR. Give the Extension Office a call. They might be able to give you some more specific information. But what we're finding here is that it is listed as an invasive species.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me. A friend of mine had one in Brown County, and he lives in the forest, and he had a bittersweet, and the thing just was a monstrous grower. It got so big that he'd drag across his car when he'd pull in the driveway. But we have, but it's not illegal. We're going to admit there's some invasiveness here, and probably a lot, but it's not illegal. If it were illegal, it wouldn't be for sale, and the plant is for sale. But we have some at the greenhouse that we grow to cut. And the thing about it is we have it in almost like a concrete jungle.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for it to spread, although it gets the berries, and I'm sure that's how the invasion happens. But it's in an area where it's growing against a concrete block wall. It's in a planter that's made of concrete, and then it's in a parking lot where everything around it is asphalt. So this one wouldn't be as invasive as maybe some, except for those berries.
Well, if Jim does want to transplant this, would you have any tips for him?
Oh, it'd be easy enough to transplant because it will grow without a doubt. When to do it, anytime. But he should definitely consider whether he really wants it or not, or if he has a good place to put it where it won't be as invasive. But remember, again, the invasiveness happens from birds and the berries.
Mm-hmm. Jim, we appreciate your question. Good conversation point here as well. We had an email from Diane. Diane says, I have 3 trumpet vines that have pulled down my fence. Where else can I plant them? Well, I guess if the fence is down, it's time to move them.
Time to move it, or here's the real tip, build a stronger fence.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, you could build one with, say, more like steel poles. And if you don't like the pole look, you can put the steel poles in and then surround them with lumber.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how one of the fences is at my place. It's a solid pole with wood, you know, tacked together in a square around it. So it looks like a wooden pole, but really, in fact, it's powerfully strong. But that's the thing. These things will last in your ground for a very long time. And unless you have a structure strong enough to hold it, you could build a lattice framework.
I was just going to say,
using pipes.
I mean, would you recommend something more along the lines of a lattice work or trellis, something stronger that's maybe not the fence?
Yeah, and you need it framed in with pipes, something where actually the weight is on the pipe and not the lattice itself.
Hmm.
And if you're using wooden lattice, that's going to rot out and break long before the plant dies. So it's just something to consider, that you're either going to have to redo it, or you're going to have, you know, if you have a friend that's a welder, build a steel frame. It could last for a long, long time.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and the Rust-Oleum.
Diane, very good luck. We're sorry about your fence there. Hopefully you can get him back up in a stronger place soon. The number to call if you have a question or comment for us this afternoon, it's easy, 260-452-1185. Or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Just a moment here, we'll have a question from Juanita about blueberry plants. First, though, let's go to the phones. We've got Pat on the line. Pat, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, Pat.
Yeah. Well, I have a very old rose. I believe it's a vine, not a bush, but it's way overgrown. Is there anything I should do to that to keep that going?
You don't know what it is, though?
I think it's a vine. It's not a bush. It's real long, straight branches. And...
Well, if it's growing where you want it, and how you want it, you don't have to do anything. But if it's getting out of hand, definitely cut it back, and cut it back further than you think you need to, because it will grow some more. And
okay.
So that's basically it. If it's where you don't want it, You definitely need to trim it back. And without actually knowing what it is, it's hard to really say how far to cut it back. You know, some
it gets a rose on it. It's probably about the size of maybe a little bit larger than a ping pong ball, and has a great aroma.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, it's just long, straight vines.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's really my advice.
It sounds largely like it's what you want in this this situation,
yeah.
Pat.
Yeah. So if you like it there, well, then just trim it.
I mean, how far can I cut it back?
Well, that's it. Without knowing what it is, I really can't come up with that answer as to how far, because some things you'd cut clear back way down low. But do you want it? Do you want it as large as it is, or do you want it smaller?
Well, I'd just like to contain it somewhat there. It's growing over a fence and interwoven with a lilac bush. And
well, I would cut it back, if I were just going to guess, 3 to 4 feet. You know, if I just had to throw a number out there, 3 to 4 feet, and because it will grow again next spring and summer.
Well, and especially, Doug, is there a concern there if it's interwoven with a lilac bush to maybe to get it out of there and get it back?
Yeah, you might have better luck digging the lilac bush up, moving it, than digging up some sort of a vine, because they don't dig up and come apart all that easy. So, and this is a great time to do that with a lilac, because you can it's kind of going dormant now.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, Pat, check in with us. Cut it back a bit, and check back in with us here in a few weeks.
Sure will.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
We'll be excited to hear from you. Thank you very much for the call, Pat.
Bye. All right,
have a good day. 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for us this afternoon. Just about 10 minutes left in the program. So if you want to get on the show, hopefully
Better
you'll
hurry.
Get on the phones right now. Let's go down the line here. We've got a few more callers waiting. Diane on line two. Diane, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, you're welcome.
My husband and I have purchased, at the end of the season, 2 potted, and they were called alamander trees.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of them, or you know about them?
Yes.
They tell me it's a tropical plant.
It is tropical. You know, everyone's heard of the mandevilla.
Right.
And then there's the mandevilla with the shinier leaf that has a red blossom. Mandevillas usually have pink or white. The red blossomed one is called a diplodenia. There's a name for you.
Yeah.
Diplodenia.
And then the alamanda is another one that's sold in the trio, but it has yellow blooms, correct?
Right. We have yellow blooms. Mm-hmm. And we, as I said, we got 2 of them. And when it got colder, we brought them into our sunroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if we can keep them, you think, through the winter?
I think you can and have relatively good luck, but you need to cut them back. You need to cut about half to two-thirds back.
Cut them back.
And
then
don't water them hardly ever.
Really? I've been
No, outside in the spring and summer, you water the heck out of them. Sometimes twice a day isn't enough.
Uh-huh.
But through the winter months, and especially if it's cool, you're not going to want to water them at all. Once every 2 weeks, maybe as we get into the dead of winter, every 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, they were getting so many yellow leaves, of course, after
That's
we brought
okay.
them inside. Which,
That's okay.
And they've fallen off, but they're still blooming.
And, you know, that always brings up a great point. When the plants start to get yellow leaves and drop, don't panic. So many people panic, and they start watering more. They bust out the fertilizer. Oh, it's always the worst thing you can do.
No
fertilizer. Fertilizer is not medicine. Twice in 1 hour, mm-hmm. I've said that now. So, no fertilizer,
okay. But
definitely cut back on the watering. And if you have a tray under the pot, make sure that tray's always dry.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a saucer underneath both pots, mm-hmm. and they haven't been... we'll cut back on the watering.
Yes.
And you say even maybe cut the plant back half.
Oh, at least halfway back. Yeah, at least halfway back.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
There's
even
no sense.
It has this trunk that's about, maybe 2 inches in diameter or an
inch
and a half.
Yeah, cut it back. This thing will easily grow back next spring and summer.
Okay. Okay.
So just cut it back now and then really mistreat it all winter long. If you mistreat this plant all winter long, when you treat it nicely in April, it'll be happy.
Okay.
And it'll grow.
That's one way of putting it.
That's it. It'll be so happy with you then.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
And Diane, we were glad to have you with us today. Thank you
Thank
for the call.
You.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Allamandas. Not a lot of people know that plant.
That was a new one on me. I learned a little something new every week with you here, Doug. The number to get with us this hour, or just a few minutes left in the program, it's 260-452-1185. Or if you're calling outside of the 260 area code, we'd be happy to have you at 1-800-471-9264. Let's go down the line here. We've got Linda on the line. Linda, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm calling about mums. I have both some in pots that are beautiful, but they're really certain to die off. Mm-hmm. Any recommendations for what I should do with those?
Well, is it possible to get them in the ground or not?
Sure.
Oh, well, it's always best to plant them in the ground. They'll survive a lot better that way. Otherwise, you'd have to take the pots to an area that's an unheated garage or storage shed. And just put them in there and forget about them till next spring.
Okay.
That's the other alternative. Either
would I
one,
cut them way back, like you've been saying to do with all
would,
the other stuff?
I would cut, in either case, I'd cut them back almost to the ground.
Hmm.
Almost, not completely to the ground. And everything above ground will die. And your new plants will come out of the root system. So basically, it's the root system that you're trying to protect. Certainly not the plant. The plant will die no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah, but the root system will punch out new growth in the springtime, and that's your new mums. And they can be dug up in the spring and divided. If you keep them in the pots and they start to sprout, and you know, you're going to want to water them in late March, early April to promote that growth. And then when you see growth, then you're going to want to take them apart, even if they're in the pots. Take them out of the pots and divide them and plant them in new pots. And I've always said when I did it at home, I planted them in my vegetable garden, just like a row of tomatoes, a row of peppers, and a row of mums.
Okay.
And I grow my mums in the vegetable garden all summer long because they don't bloom till fall anyway. And then in the fall, I would pop them out of the ground when they're budded, and I'd move them up to the giant flower boxes and pull the annuals out that were starting to look bad.
Yeah.
And I'd put my mums in there along with maybe some vinca vine or something that would just look really nice. And then I was ready for fall.
So you just move them all around.
I do.
Very mobile with your mums.
Yeah, no reason not to. But, of course, then I left them in those giant flower boxes until spring, at which time I dug them up, divided them, and planted them back in the vegetable garden. That was the rotation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks very much for the call, Linda. Have a good day.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Bye-bye. About 5 minutes left of the program here. We have time for maybe one or maybe two more calls. If you get in right now, 260-452-1185. Or you can call us toll-free, of course, 1-800-471-9264. Doug, I guess I didn't realize that, well, you especially, it's have been you can move those around a whole lot as they grow.
Yeah. Well, to me, there's no point in planting a garden mum in your front flower bed when it's only going to bloom in the fall. So plant it there in the fall. This is the rotation. Plant it there in the fall. Enjoy the flowers right up until they freeze out and get old and die. Then just leave it there till spring and then go out, pop them out of the ground, divide them, and plant them someplace out of the way.
Very briefly here, I want to get to Juanita's question. Then we have a caller on the line. Juanita says, blueberry plants are not producing many blueberries. How can I help them out? Also, she has collard greens and broccoli that are still growing. Should she just bring them in the house or cover them up outside?
Collard greens and broccoli. Yeah, either one of them will stay in your garden for a very long time. They don't care about cold weather. And you can harvest them as you want to. But, of course, in either case, you could harvest them and clean them, blanch them perhaps for 30 seconds and then freeze them. And they would last in the freezer.
And in regards then to the blueberry plants.
The blueberries, yeah. Mm-hmm. Our blueberries didn't do very well this year either, and so we're really looking forward to a crop next year. In fact, our blueberries, they looked dead all summer long, and right at the end of the season, in late fall, bam, they look like champion plants. So we're really having hopeful thoughts that next year we'll get tons of blueberries.
Well,
off of.
And you know, a lot of blueberry commercial blueberry producers and berry producers around the state had a really hard time this year as well
because of the
early freezes and then of course the drought as well.
Yeah.
Let's get to our last caller we have on the line here. About 2 minutes to chat with Maria. Maria, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
I just wanted to kind of revisit a topic I had called about before, which was my succulents that had stretched out. And I cut them down, and I replanted them in succulent cactus soil, and I kind of created a little window spot for them, and mm-hmm. they are doing amazing.
Great.
All right.
Great.
So
well, that's
thank you.
That's great. Glad to hear it. Yeah,
we always love to hear success stories. That's great, Maria. Congratulations.
Good deal. Yeah. And thank you. You bet. Thanks for the call. And that particular cactus type succulent soil is different from other soils in that it does have a lot of sand in it. And it's just a different kind of mixture that the cactus and succulents prefer.
Maria, once again, congratulations. We love to hear it when any of our listeners have success.
Absolutely.
It looks like we do have just a minute here to get to Cheryl's question she just sent in. Cheryl asks, some resurrection lily bulbs were left in her barn over the winter. Mm-hmm. Will they be any good to plant now?
I thought she was going to say they resurrected right in the barn because it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, you could plant those just about any time you have them, and they will surprise you and pop up. That's the other name for them, surprise lilies. They just pop up when they feel like it. And generally, they don't have any foliage or anything. It's just all of a sudden you look out there and boom, there's this stem with flowers on it. It's quite an interesting thing. Yeah, I would say plant them.
Cheryl can give those a go.
I would do it.
All right.
It's better than in the barn.
We've had a lot of catchphrases come up here today, Doug, between the lemon scented soap and mobile with your mums. I think we've got it covered. Oh, that music means we are out of time for this hour of Midday Matters. Thank you so much to everybody who called in and, of course, wrote in, left messages with us with your questions and comments today. Remember, we will be off next week. Lynn Rosetto Casper will be live on the air with Turkey Confidential. You won't want to miss that one. We'll be back, that means, in 2 weeks. Doug, thanks very much for being with us this hour.
Thank you.
Thanks to our listeners for being with us as well. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. It's WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Of course, we're streaming online at nipr.fm. Fresh air is coming up next. It's 1 o'clock.